morning and welcome to United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. Go ahead and stand up. Can we give God a hand clap of praise this Sunday morning? Amen. Turn to your neighbor before we get started and give them the highest of fives you can give. Armpits out. As high as you can get. You're encouraging them. You're letting them know you're happy to see them, but you're letting the world know I can lift my hands this morning. That I can glorify my King of Kings. And so what we're going to do before the music even begins, before we sing a song, we're just going to begin lift up some praises unto the King of Kings. Can we just begin to clap our hands unto the Lord? Can we begin just to lift our hands? Father, you are so good. Father, you are worthy of all of my praise. God, thank you for waking me up this morning. God, thank you for what you have in store. And so, God, I give you all of the glory and all of the praise in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, say everything,
everything
that has breath,
that has breath.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Let everything,
let everything
that has breath,
that has breath.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Let everything
that has breath,
that has breath.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord. Praising the God, praise on the mountain. When I'm sure, then praise when I'm I'll praise when I'm numbered, praise when surrounded. His praise is the water, my enemies drowned.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to
despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out and pray. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
All of my fear I will turn into strength. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out and pray. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into faith. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. All victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into faith. Shake off.
because you are the one who is able. We praise you, God, for your mercy and grace, your loving kindness towards us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's no one like you. There's no one like you, God.
Oh! sun like a god. Every knee has to bow down. Every tongue has to cry out.
Lord God Almighty,
there is none like a god.
Mover, my defender,
lift up his name a little longer. Come on, come on. If you don't feel something right now, then the enemy has got a grip on you that you got to shake. He is that mighty Savior who will fight for you, who will die for you. He's that stronger tower, the strongest thing in your life when everything is breaking. When you feel so weak, he's there. He stands like a pillar, that mountain mover. If you have the faith, he'll do it. Your defender will fight every enemy. He is greater. He is greater than every sickness, every result, every grade, everything that tries to take your mind. Just like David slayed Goliath with a stone, you can slay your problems with a prayer. I don't know what fear is gripping you. I don't know why. I don't know why these altars aren't filled right now in this time. So I invite you, whatever need you have, whatever sickness you have on your heart, whatever thing that is plaguing your mind, you're in a place, you're in four walls where you can shake it free. This is the place where you can give it to God, because he is here and he is listening. He is sitting on the edge of his seat, because he is ready. He is ready for you to make that move. So I urge you, the ministers will anoint you with oil. Come down to these altars. When we go back into worship, you're already here. Lord, by your grace and by your goodness, God, we call upon you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. For every spoken and unspoken need, God, you are the King. Hallelujah.
Brother Griffith, Dawn and Donna Howe. Seeing if they were here. They are here. Yes. Okay. So good to see you guys. We're praying for y'all. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any need, I know Caleb mentioned it, but his presence is so tangible this morning. And the worst thing that we can do is walk out of this place the same way we walked in, right? That should be an ultimate goal, to walk out different, and not even just for you, but for the world that you're going to reach, right? Don't ever let us lose our passion for this city. So many lost souls. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any need, you can come up here. Oh, God, thank you for your presence that's in this place. God, don't let me sit in your presence and leave without being changed. Oh, God, I pray that you would minister to the weary today. I pray that you would minister to the heartbroken, God. Your word says that you are the mender of the broken, and we believe that today, God. We're taking you at your word. You are not a man that you should lie. God, I pray that you would remind somebody of their purpose this morning. Oh, God, I pray that you would pour out on your people so that we can pour it out on those around us in return. Oh, God, you are the holy God. You are the worthy God. Touch Brother Griffith this morning. I pray that your presence would be in his room. Oh, God, we thank you for this building to get to have a church services in, God. But don't let us forget that the church is us as we walk through the streets of Paris, Texas. Oh, God, I pray that you would touch our city. Oh, God, touch every pastor. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. You are mighty in your precious name, Jesus' name.
A thousand generations falling.
nations, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted up, holy, holy forever.
Sing if you've been forgiven, oh yes,
if you've been forgiven. And dominion.
Into your anxiety and your depression, that can reach into your uncertainty and into your doubt and into your confusion and step in the midst of it and bring ultimate peace, bring clarity into it, bring joy where there used to not be any, but bring light into that darkness. There is nothing in this world that can do what God can do for you when you decide that I'm laying everything down at the altar, that I am surrendering everything that I have been holding, everything that I have been fighting against, everything that has tried to attach itself to me and into my family, and I'm laying it down, and all I'm doing is I'm picking up my cross, and I'm picking up the power of Jesus, that God, you shed your blood for me so I can be called out of my darkness and into your marvelous light. That power's for you today. That power's for anybody in here today. If it's your first time here, it's for you. If it's your 100th time here, it's still for you. Praise God. Give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such a spirit of praise in this place. Praise God. You may be seated for a moment. We have some announcements, and our ushers are going to come and take our tithe and our offering. We have our coffee shop. If you have not been there yet, or you maybe you have been in there, we have coffee shop. They have t-shirts for sale right now, and all of the proceeds were going back directly into the church. The month of March. Also, if you buy a coffee, your name gets entered into a drawing for a Bible. So that's exciting. So enter into that drawing. Buy yourself a coffee. Make your way to that coffee shop. It's incredible anyway. You'll enjoy it just being in there. Today we have a special speaker. We have the Brad Davis family that will be here to this morning and tonight. Are we not excited for the ministry today and tonight? On the 14th, there'll be a men's outing to Texas Roadhouse. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, so make sure you are signed up for that. On the 29th, there'll be a JAMS event. It will be a kids' rally. So get with Sister Victoria or Sister Candy about details. And we are currently doing a fundraiser for current events and also future JAMS events. It's a calendar fundraiser that you're able to give according to the date on the calendar. If you pick the first, you can give $1. Pick the 31st, you can give $31. You can pick the first to give $100. There's no rules, except if you go more. But that's it. You can't go under. But we know who you are. And so make sure that you are, it's exciting. The JAMS event, we are excited to raise up the future generation, to pour into these kids. That we have a phenomenal JAMS group that are doing incredible work in those children, and we are so excited to see. Plant seeds in them now, and you see some results, and you see some fruits produced, but it's whenever they begin to grow older, and they can call back to those stories, they can call back to those lessons on those Wednesday night at JAMS, and they can have things. I still remember, Brother, the Crawfords, I still remember, y'all taught me how to tie knots. We had I still use that little, the square knot, and I still use all that little pull knot that we use. I remember it from our JAMS, and so, I'm sure I was terrible, but I learned how to tie a knot, and so, we support our JAMS. On the 30th, we have our mission pledge is due. And on the 31st, our Ladies United Fellowship event, there is going to be a sign up in the foyer. And so our ushers are going to come We're going to take our tithe and our offering, and we're going to continue to move into worship today in expectation of what God has in store for us and what we can give unto God in this service. My prayer is that we don't leave here satisfied and full and receiving everything, but we pour out as much as we can so we are hungry when we leave here for more things of God. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you have in store for us this morning. And God, I pray that we are doers of the word and not just hearers. I pray you bless what is given, that you bless the giver, that you move this church forward into a spirit of revival. In Jesus' name, amen.
House of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
What a sweet spirit we feel here today. How many of you are thankful for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Tell you, I just love knowing that if I have a need, I can call on my brothers and sisters, and the Lord hears and answers prayers. God bless you. You may be seated for a moment. We are entertaining our last candidate this morning before that we seek to bring the vote before the church. And I just want to say to the committee that I have been privileged. It's a privilege to work with this church and these men. Such dedication, such love. I work part-time right now and enjoy it. But some of these men work some long, hard hours, and I've seen them come in tired, exhausted, but sat down for 2 and 3 hours and process the things that we have to process in order to do what we need to do. And I am highly impressed by the men that served on this board. You selected them to be your advisory board, the trustees, as well as myself as a representative of, as it was said yesterday in a meeting, an old fella. And I find it such an honor to be able to be a part of this local church for these many years. My heart is tender this morning because many times I've faced heartaches and sorrows. I've been at the point of death, and I can hardly stand before the congregation or anyone or a friend without saying, I remember when I was laying in a hospital bed and they told my wife that I probably wouldn't make it through the night. My brain was swelling. The pain was excruciating. The diagnosis was serious, and they said I would probably not make it. But I had no fear because I knew that I had a God that was going to heal and answer if it was His will. My wife got a hold of the church, got a hold of the church members, our families, and people began to pray. I suffered a few hours with excruciating migraine headaches because the blood clot was backing up and keeping the blood flow from going to my brain. That's why I'm just a little slow right now. But I want to tell you something. God came through and He relieved that blood clot miraculously. When they said I'd be in the nursing home for 6 months, I walked out of the hospital in 10 days. I watched my wife walk through cancer. I've heard the diagnosis is that they have no cure for her. I've sat with her even this week and watched her suffer and be so sick from her treatments. But I've watched a mighty God walk into our home and comfort us and say, I'm here with you. And I'm so glad she's with me in the house of the Lord this morning, because I have a God who is able. He is able to meet your every need. What an altar service we've already had of healing. And if you're here this morning and you have a need before you leave this place, my God is willing to touch you. Brother Jerry, it's so good to see your face. I have missed you, buddy. He's my tomato friend. He tells me when to buy them, when to plant them, and how to grow them. And we share tomatoes. But I miss every one of you. The men on this board have high integrity. They listen to the congregation and have brought your thoughts before our meetings. They have been awesome. Brother Micah, you have been a tremendous blessing with your knowledge and the way you've orchestrated our meetings and kept us on pace. And thank you for taking care of me and helping me when I didn't know where I was. But I want to say a special thank you to Sister Mary Lou Martin. Sister Martin, what a graceful lady you are. I love you. My family loves you, your husband, your family, and thank you for serving the church all these years and being at these meetings to record and to lead us. Sister Lisa, there you are. You know I love you. Watched you grow from a young lady to who you are today, a leader, a strong leader in our church. And for all the answers that you give me and names and telephone numbers and things that you help to bring the church into a full round ministry to reach out to people in need. But I've seen her help prepare the meals, Sister Morton, as they brought and lay out some beautiful meals for us for our meetings.
Most of the meetings 2 to 3 hours long, and they have been just beautiful. The Holy Spirit flows. As we were meeting and praying yesterday, you could just feel the Holy Spirit. It was almost like having church. And what a good time we had. So I just want to say to that board, thank you for allowing me to serve with you and for all that you have done, and especially to these ladies. Brother and Sister Meyer bought a home up in Arkansas to retire, and this last week they had a pipe burst in their home and did a lot of damage. Brother Darren was sharing with me yesterday the terrible damage that was done, the water that was there. They had to rip up floors and walls and ceiling and insulation. And they're just a couple of years older than me, and I'd hate to face that right now. Would you just maybe right now for our Brother Meyer and Sister Meyer, would you just lift your hand and let's pray? God, touch them and help them through this time of getting that home restored and done. Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Brother and Sister Meyer and where they are today, Lord, trying to make things better and come together. And I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reach down and touch them and guide them and comfort them. I know, Lord God, that there are those that will help them and undergird them and strengthen them. But, Lord, I pray especially, Lord God, that you would just make a way where there seemeth not to be a way for them today and provide for their every need in Jesus' name. And let the church say amen. I blame all this emotion on the stroke I had, but I've always been a little bit emotional. I would like to say that I was able to pick my brother up this week that has been in an institution for 3 weeks, and we did not know whether or not he would be able to come back to us. And I picked him up, and we had such great fellowship. I'm serving a God today that performs miracles. He restored him to full health. And I'm just praising God today because it did not look like that he would be able to come back home again. And I'm so thankful today that he's home and doing good. The pastoral transition team would like to introduce to you Brother and Sister Jenna Davis as applicants for the pastoral opening. They have 3 children, Addison 11, London 8, and Jathan 6. Brother Davis holds a licensed minister certificate with the United Pentecostal Church International since 2014. He also holds the next step in the ministry of ordained minister with the United Pentecostal Church International since 2023. Brother Davis attended Texas Bible College from 2006 to 2007. And I'm almost for sure that's where he met our little friend, Sister Jenna Davis. And I'm glad he did. He was student pastor at the Sanctuary Church in Abilene, Texas from 2008 to 2012. Youth leader at the New Life Church in Jasper, Texas from 2013 to 2015. He served as assistant pastor at Life Point Church in DeZetta, UPC, from 2015 to 2017, and now he is currently their senior pastor, the pastor of the church at Life Point Church, DeZetta, UPC, from 2018 to the present time. He currently serves the whole DeZetta ISD as a school board member from 2022 to the present time, and chaplain for the local fire department. Boy, we are getting outside of our walls as United Pentecostals, and we are beginning to get out into our community, and I think that is an awesome thing, serving the community and letting them know that we are regular people who love God and love people. He has served the Texas District UPCI as sectional Word Network of Prayer Director from 2015 to 2016, Texas District Youth Committee Member from 2016 to 2018, Sectional Global Missions Director from 2018 to the present. Sister Davis, Graduated from Texas Bible College in 2008 as salutatorian with a degree in music. She has 14 years experience leading worship teams, adult worship, ensembles, youth choirs, kids worship and kids choirs, special event programs. She is also skilled in teaching piano lessons. She has assisted in children's ministries, youth ministries, ladies ministries, etc. And she has also served as pastor's wife in each position that Brother Davis has held since their marriage in February 2010. 15 beautiful years of marriage. Can you give them a hand clap? That's a great accomplishment. Wow. But the one that blesses me the most is to see her be the mother of those three little redheaded-ish looking kids that I just love. Redheads run in my family, and I love them. They will be ministering this morning and again in the 6 o'clock p.m. service tonight. And I know it's spring break, and some have probably already left town or have plans, but I would encourage you to be here tonight, and I encourage you to come to the prayer room at least by 5:30 tonight, and let us have another season of prayer for the service and for our church. Now is the time to really seek the face of God, if you have not been, for His direction in what we need to do for the next phase of the ministry of the UPC in Paris. Would you please stand and make welcome Brother and Sister Davis? And I have asked them to take full control and be pastor today and tonight. The church has, the board has, not just myself, but we want him to just have church, altar service, and whatever he feels. One more time, give him a hand clap of praise.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to Paris. Boy, it's good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Haven't you enjoyed the presence of the Holy Ghost that's permeated the atmosphere? My, my, my. Hallelujah. Amen. It's such an honor to be here today. And God bless you, sweet folks. And I want Jenna to sing. And he hit it right on the head. I found the best thing Paris had to offer in TBC. Do not look at my transcripts, whatever you do from TBC. Amen. But I found my wife there. And I thank God for my wife. Love and appreciate her. And I want her to testify and sing this morning before we get to the word of the Lord.
It's always wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with his people. And I'm so thankful that when we just call upon the name of Jesus, that something starts happening, something starts moving. And I'm so thankful that through the years, I may not be too old, but getting up there. But when I look back over my life and I see the different things that I've gone through, or I've seen different struggles, even like Brother Dickie was speaking about this morning. And when you look back, you see the faithfulness of God and you realize that he was there every step of the way, even though it might not have felt like it. Worship with me this morning. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right. My trials only come to make me strong. For it's through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon.
Has anybody found that to be a reality in your life? Amen. You can depend on him. And somebody said it. Maybe Brother Rhodes made comment of it. The young man who was leading here in our prayer time. That if you need something, amen, God's so good at being God that it don't even take a preacher to preach. He can just step through a pew and bypass what I'm saying, and he can heal cancer like that. He can set depressed souls free like that. Boy, I'll tell you, that praise team, I was ready. We could just have church up in this place. Good God Almighty, it was moving in this room. Amen. It's still here. Amen. My. It is so good to be in the house. You know what's good about God? Now, half of you guys, you may know me, but you probably don't know me. But what I love about God is that while we may all have different personalities, we serve the same Spirit. And Brother T.F. Tenney said it best years ago. He said, the angels that face in the Ark of the Covenant, they don't look eye to eye, but they look at the glory. He said, when we all come together, we may not all see things eye to eye, but if we get our eyes on the glory, that's what matters in the end, because that's where lives are changed and souls are rearranged. Amen. Praise God. I know it's 11 o'clock and some of you are hungry. I get all of that. And you don't have to be spiritual to feel some of those things. And I get hungry too. Amen. But it is a delight. I really mean this. It's a delight to be here today, my family and I. And I'd be remiss if I did not say what I'm about to say. And I know you guys do this on a consistent basis. At least I pray you do. But I honor Pastor and Sister Meyer, who has had an incredible impact. If you only knew the times. Yeah, that's right. That's in order. If you only knew the times at camp meetings that he's took me, young preachers, to IHOP and just poured into his stuff. I didn't want to talk. I wanted him to talk. And I thank God for Pastor and Sister Meyer. I really mean that. Love and appreciate them. To this advisory committee, this board, it's been an honor to be a part of this process. And I'll say this. We're going to move and have church, if that's okay. At the end of the day, what we always pray for and what I pray you pray for is the perfect will of God. The Holy Ghost sees the future, and that's all that matters. Amen. I know the Lord is in control, and we want what he wants, and we're honored just to be a small part of this process. And I think it'd be good if we had good church today. And I think it'd be good if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can leave here baptized with the gift of the Spirit. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, man, this is the place to do it at. Man, I'm going to preach a message today that I feel the Lord has directed me to preach this wonderful church. And my prayer at the end of this message today, I'll go ahead and give you just an end view, is that God would set a fire that's so hot on the inside of you that it cannot be put out by anything in this world, that God would make you a living, breathing testimony. Sister was leading service, said it best, that we're going to go throughout this entire city, man, and set this place on fire. That is the will of God for every church. I mean, we want God to set this place on fire. Amen. Psalm chapter 96, verse 1 through 3. I'm reading today from the New King James Version. Psalms 96. The psalmist said this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Everybody said proclaim. He said proclaim tidings, or another translation says proclaim the good news of his salvation. Everyone said from day to day. He said declare his glory among the nations. And then he says this, his wonders among all people. When you read this text, there's but one thing that I can see that stands out and screams to me off the pages, and that is simply this. Go tell it everywhere, every day. Go tell it everywhere, every day. Look at your neighbor and tell him that's you he's talking to today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We ask you to anoint us, touch us, speak to us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands one more time before you're seated today. We love you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. The psalmist tells us that we are to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, or in other words, every day. We are to declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people everywhere. In other words, as a corporate body, as an individual, the Lord is calling for his body to be a people who propagate or who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere, every day. The human voice, it is an amazing thing. I pray you love hearing your spouse's voice when they talk to you. If not, let's pray about that today. The human voice is an amazing thing that God has gifted the human race. Much like a fingerprint, each voice has its own unique voice print. Now, I've not come today, per se, to give you a lesson from your high school anatomy and physiology class, but I want you to bear with me for a few minutes as I lay something out. Our voice print, your unique voice print, we all have. It gives us a distinct voice, making everybody in this room one of a kind. That's why a mother can distinguish her baby's cry, because of its unique sound. Think about this. Our brain, it formulates thoughts, and as a result, it sends signals to the body to speak. And by divine design, air is pushed from the lungs, vibrating the vocal cords to produce sound. And this sound, it is shaped and it's amplified by the throat and the mouth and the nasal passages. And then it's formed into words by your tongue, your lips, and your jaw. It is a seamless process that turns ideas into speech. And so when you put it all together, you understand that God gave mankind the ability to hear, to read, to see, and the information you have been given is processed in your brain, and you can now do something amazing that no other created being on earth can do. You can take this amazing God-given gift, your voice, and you can use that voice to speak. But not just a voice to speak, but a voice to be heard and understood by others. God gave us a voice here on earth to enable us to build relationships with other people, to share knowledge and to collaborate, and showing how God values relationships and togetherness. He said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, it is not good for man to be alone, underscoring the significance of human interaction. A quick look at history reveals both terrible leaders and truly great leaders. One thing, though, that all these leaders and all great leaders and terrible leaders had in common, whether great or terrible, was their ability to use their voice to shape ideology and to inspire the masses to follow their vision. Now, some of you may not be old enough. I only knew about him because I studied history, but crazed man Jim Jones. Anybody ever heard of that man? Crazed man Jim Jones. He used his voice and his persuasive rhetoric in leading his followers to their tragic fate through being a manipulator and emotional appeals and fear tactics. He convinced over 900 people to commit mass suicide in Jonestown, Guyana on the 18th of November in 1978. While on the other hand, our founding father of this nation, George Washington, he used his voice to encourage weary soldiers. But I think it's important to point out about Washington that history tells us that he was not naturally a great speaker. He was not a great orator. He was not someone you just wanted to go hear talk about the latest thing that was happening. Yet While he was not a fiery, charismatic speaker, he was calm and he was deliberate and he was commanding when he spoke. And so it was on the 31st of 1776 of December in Trenton, New Jersey, while facing the imminent expiration of many soldiers' enlistments, Washington addressed his weary troops, acknowledging their hardships and emphasizing the stakes involved. He said these words, "My brave fellows, you have done all I asked you to do and more that can be reasonably expected, but your country is at stake, your wives and your houses and all that you hold dear." And as a result of that one speech, as a result of him using that God-given voice, his heartfelt plea, it convinced about half of the men to extend their service, enabling subsequent victory. Stay with me, please. And had he not used his voice that day, who knows what would have happened to this United States of America that we all love today. It was World War II, and Hitler was on a rampage taking over Europe. And after the evacuation of Dunkirk, some members of the British Parliament were considering negotiating peace with Nazi Germany. But Prime Minister Winston Churchill gave a speech in an effort to unite the nation and make it clear that Britain would continue to resist Hitler's aggression, emphasizing unwavering determination with this iconic line: "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills, we shall never surrender." And as a result of Winston Churchill using that voice, the British government and the public were inspired to remain steadfast in the face of Nazi Germany. His speech unified Parliament. It solidified Churchill's leadership and it bolstered national morale at a time of great uncertainty. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power of the voice. And here we sit today, seated in this room are 100+ voices. Each from different backgrounds. You think different. You have unique ideas. And you have diverse experiences. Yet despite all of these differences, God gave each of us one thing in common, and that is our voice. God gave us a voice for creative expression. Our voices allow us to sing, to tell stories, to create art, mirroring God's creative nature. Psalms told us in 156, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And in the spiritual, he gave us a voice because he desires relationship with us. Our voice, it allows us to engage in prayer, in worship like we did a few minutes ago. It enables us to praise, and in turn, it fosters a personal connection with the Creator. But I want to submit to us today, while all of these reasons God gave us a voice, they're great and they are important, one of the most important reasons God gifted you and I with a voice is found again in this text in Psalms 96, when the psalmist said, "We are to proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." That word "proclaim" in modern day simply means you are to declare, you are to spread, you are to share the good news of his salvation daily. In other words, he is saying, go tell it everywhere, every day. One of the main reasons you have a voice is for the proclamation, the proclaiming of the truth. When God created you, when God created Brad, he knew that we would use our voice, or we could use our voice for anything. He knew that you could use your voice to manipulate people. He knew you could use your voice to slander others. He knew you could use your voice to gossip. He knew you could use your voice to backbite. He knew you could use your voice to lie on people. He knew you could use your voice to promote yourself and gain influence with others. But he gave you and I that unique voice, hoping that when you did become empowered by his spirit, that you would take that same voice that used to proclaim so many terrible things, and you would fulfill what Jesus said, that you would receive power after that the Holy Ghost came on you, and you would be my witnesses, he said, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And since we don't live in Israel, that verse would read like this: but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, first in Paris, then throughout Texas, and across the United States, and to the ends of the world. In other words, he gave you a voice to go tell it everywhere, every day. He gave you a voice to go shout it, if you will, from the rooftops. That phrase, to shout from the rooftop, simply means to loudly and publicly tell it so everybody can hear it. It often carries a sense of urgency and excitement, suggesting that the message being shared is incredibly important and joyful. The world's greatest voice. He stood and he told his disciples and a large crowd on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You are the light of the world, a town that is built on a hill and cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." In the same way, he said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." In other words, he said, go tell it everywhere, every day. Go, what am I supposed to go tell, preacher? Go tell it everywhere, every day, how he turned your brokenness to being blessed. Go tell it everywhere, every day, how he fixed what nobody else could fix. When you had a needle, good God Almighty, when you had a needle hanging out your arm. I got folks in our church, they were on heroin, and she told me when she got the Holy Ghost, she said, "Brother Davis, when it got on me, it's the greatest thing. Heroin can't even touch what it was." That, what is that? That's God telling that body, go tell it everywhere, every day. He said, go tell it everywhere, every day, how he spared you over and over. Go tell it everywhere, every day, mama and daddy, how he cooled that baby's brow that had a fever at midnight and only the touch of a hand, and speaking that name, the fever broke. He said, go tell it everywhere, every day, how he mended your broken heart that you thought would never be put back together. Go tell it everywhere, every day, how he provided your needs when you didn't know how God was going to do it. Paul said, "But my God shall supply," talk to me again, "all of your need according to" what? Not to my bank, thank God, but to his bank. Now, I'm going to tell you something real quick. I felt the check this morning while studying for this message to insert this right here. Let me just tell you, when the Lord says to proclaim his gospel, his good news, that's not just Acts 2:38. That is to proclaim the goodness of God and what he's done in your life. Whether it's healing, it's deliverance, it's salvation, it's provision, whatever it is, that's what you're to proclaim. It was a long while back, and my wife and I needed some of that stuff they print called currency. Anybody ever needed some of that? Yeah, man. Anyways, we were in one of those times, and it wasn't for me to go to Disney World, I promise you that. It was for something I really needed from the Lord. And I was outside playing basketball. This is how I know God likes basketball and God's a San Antonio Spurs fan. Now, if you don't believe that, you just pray through and God will forgive you for that. Amen. Anyways, me and Jathan were outside playing basketball, and I was posting him up. I don't believe in letting my kids win, so I was backing him down in the paint, and he couldn't handle Tim Duncan in the paint, and we were playing basketball. And a man drove by on a tractor, and now God don't always speak to me, but he spoke to me that day. He said, "Don't stop playing basketball. When he comes back by, he'll have some money for you." I thought, well, good God, I'll play basketball all the time. So we kept on playing basketball, and God's not, I ain't lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm playing basketball. We're playing. And I hear the tractor. He's hauling hay back and forth. We live at a dead-end road. He has he has cows and whatever, and he was hauling his hay back and forth. And he went to his house. Directly, I heard the tractor crank back up. And here he come. I thought, uh-oh. I pray to God the Lord spoke to me. And he got about halfway down the road, and I heard that tractor stop. And I thought, uh-oh. And I turned around, and here came Howard Young walking across the yard. Now he said, Pastor, he said, how you doing? I said, well, we're doing all right. Here's what he said to me. These are that words. He said, God's been mighty good to me. I said, yeah, he is good. And he reached in, and he had an envelope, and I thought, oh, God, here we go. And he handed it, and when I opened it up, it was $3,100 bills. And I learned one more time that when the Holy Ghost gets ready to provide, you just be available at the right time, and he'll step in and do a miracle. He'll step in and do what you... What I'm trying to tell you is, I'm telling everybody today, that's what he did for me. If he did it for Brad, God have mercy, he can do it for you. And when he does it for you, just go tell it everywhere, every day. Go tell it everywhere, every day, how he still turns bitterness. I've been there, into love and forgiveness. Go tell it everywhere. Good God, I ain't got time to preach on this, but I could preach it for an hour and a half. Go tell it everywhere, every day. How, I'm going to preach about me right now. How he took Brad's depression. 12 years, I lived under the cloud of depression. How he took my depression, my suicidal thoughts, in a trailer house in Jasper, Texas, in 2013, when I couldn't escape the thoughts of suicide, and I can take you to where I was standing in that double wide on 4 Suncrest Circle, and I looked that devil in the eye, and I said, this is the last night, you spirit of suicide. You come up in my room, and that's been over 12 years ago. God took the suicide, hear me, but for 12 years I was under a cloud of heavy depression, of fighting the past, of trying to escape things in my spirit, not forgiving myself and letting guilt beat me to pieces. I can take you to where I was standing at a district conference when our superintendent, Brother Story, came up to me and said, God is fixing to tear an old wall down and build a new wall inside of you. That was 2 years ago. I'm now 1 year free, God have mercy, of depression. So I'm going to tell you, God can set you free of depression today, and go tell it everywhere, every day, about the goodness of God. Woo! I feel my help right now to tell somebody, you don't have to leave the same way you can. You don't have to take pills anymore. God can set you free. Anybody been set free? Anybody been delivered? Anybody got a testimony that you know that the old song said, had it not been for the Lord? Had it not, I think it was Dottie Rambo, one of them, reached down that unseen hand, and he pulled me up off the bottom, and he let me know. Hear me, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost for somebody right now. You ain't got reason to live, you feel. You feel like you've lost your reason, but you hear this young 38-year-old preacher, you've got reason to live. How can you say that? Because a man went to Calvary so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. So therefore, you can tell it everywhere. Every day. And most importantly, you can go tell it everywhere, every day. I love it. How you obeyed the gospel. When you repented of your sins, when you were baptized in that only saving name of Jesus, and when you received that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence by the speaking in other tongues. He said, go tell about that stuff everywhere, every day. Now Jesus, who was the greatest voice of all time, he said, go into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel to who? talk to me, to every, Brother Anthony Mangan said it years ago, what good is the gospel if it gets there too late? What good does the gospel do if it doesn't get downtown to where nobody wants to go? Nobody wants. What good does it do if it gets there too late? He said, He said, get rid of your pride, get rid of your flesh, and just go everywhere, every day. Not to where you just want to go, but go to where nobody wants to go. Sister Vesta Mangan said it years ago. The Lord spoke to her and said, when you reach for the ones that nobody wants, God will give you the ones that everybody wants. So therefore we reach and we go and we tell the goodness of God in what he does. Jesus said in Luke 14, go on the highways, hedges compel them to come, that my house may be filled. The Apostle Paul was so ate up with the necessity of proclaiming the gospel everywhere, every day, that at the end of Corinthians, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, woe is me if I don't get out of me. Let me just be as kind as I can. God never called the church to be nothing but a museum of what used to be. God never called the body to be glorified statues. And their favorite verse is, none of these things move me. God called you, hear me, study the word. You are a living, breathing organism. The word is alive. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What's that mean? It means it cuts going in, it cuts going out, but it's the only book that will not destroy you. It'll heal you, feel you, touch you, deliver you. That's the power of the word. And the Lord said, if you can get that in your spirit, you can change the world. I'm going to preach to us, and I won't be much longer. For all of you keeping time. Paul, he was a great apostle. He wrote over 3/4 of the New Testament. I mean, he was a spiritual dynamo. But Paul was so consumed with the gospel, not just because God gave him a burden, Brother Rhodes, but it's a whole lot bigger. Because Paul, like some of you, was on his way to Damascus to arrest, to kill, if need be, these Jesus-only believers. And on his way to that city, doing what he thought was right, a light from heaven blinded him on that road. And in that moment, God, in his mercy, he picked up Paul, he turned him around, he took him to a street called Straight, and he commissioned him to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere, every day. So when Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach this gospel, he was not just preaching out of a burden from God, he was preaching out of a testimony of how God turned his life around. He had to go everywhere, every day. And like the Apostle Paul, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a room full of testimonies. Some of you know you should not be here. It's only by God's mercy that you are here. And the voice is screaming in my spirit to tell you, you've got to go tell it everywhere, every day. The Bible says in Revelations that you overcome who? The devil. Anybody know how? By the blood of the Lamb. Say it. And by the word of your testimony. Now I feel it. I felt it this morning. I feel it now. Because the enemy has tried his best to muzzle the voices of those who have been redeemed. Why has he tried that? It's because he knows the power of your voice. And when the Bible says they overcame the enemy by the word of their testimony, that means that when you tell others what God has done, it builds faith, it defeats fear, and it proves that Jesus changes lives, and your testimony is proof that God's power is real. As a matter of fact, by you being here lets me know the devil ain't got you yet. And if he ain't got you yet, you might as well proclaim, I refuse to be silent. I refuse to die in my grave. I refuse to be how I've always been.
I'm going to preach to you.
Right.
I preach to me. I just told you some of my testimony of suicide and depression, and God set me free. But your testimony, hear me today, it is proof to you that God has saved you, God has healed you, God has helped you, and it encourages others, and here we go. It pushes back the enemy's lies. It reminds you and the devil that God already won. How did he win? He won at a place called Calvary. Blood was being shed, crown of thorns on his head, stripes on his back, a spear in his side. The scripture says he was beaten so badly he was unrecognizable. And those who loved him deserted him, except John stood off in the distance. He was alone. He was broken. You won't know why he was alone, why he was broken. It's because he looked ahead in time. He saw in 2025 and said there'll be a church there one day, and there'll be a man who couldn't escape the bottle. There'll be a man who was at the bottom and couldn't take care of his family because heroin and meth ate him alive. But I'll turn that heroin addict until somebody who knows how to get in a prayer room and chase the devil out of town. And you hear what I'm telling you right now. The adversary is trying to muzzle the voice because he understands if you let somebody else know, there may just be a revival in what you tell them. There may be hope in what you give them. You will know how to overcome condemnation. There is now, Paul said, therefore, Romans 8:1, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do I get in? You ready? Go tell it everywhere, every day. Make up in your mind when you get up in the morning and depression and fear tell you you're not good enough, you won't make it, you'll die this way. It's who you are. It's just your family tree. Your mama didn't want it. Your daddy didn't want it. Your husband didn't want it. Bless God, that ain't the truth, because God went by himself to Calvary. He got up by himself so you can get up by yourself and you can walk out of the grave. That woman at the well in John chapter 4, God, the Bible says she was so messed up. She was messed up. She'd been married so many times. She wasn't sure how many times she'd been married. She got to Jesus. He got there midday. His disciples didn't like it because it broke protocol. His disciples despised it because it went against tradition. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he landed by a well. And the Bible said there came a woman every day at noon. And the Bible said when she got there, the Lord said, hey, if you don't mind, I need some water. Well, who am I? I can't give to you. I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. And I'd never. And if you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me, sweetheart. Go, if you don't mind, go get your husband. Here we go. The revealer of secrets shows up. You can't hide in the light, Bubba. God, have mercy. God's scared to death. He starts telling you, I got to get my husband. That's, go get him. But the one you're living with right now, he ain't even the one you're married to. And she said something we'd all say, oh, God, I perceive you're a prophet. And you must hear from God. Watch this. And when God exposed her, the Bible says she dropped her water pot and she ran back to town. And this is what she said. Come see a man who told me all I ever did. And the Bible said for 3 days he stayed in that city of Sychar, and there was great revival. This is the greatest thing. This is why I know God hates tradition sometimes. Not all tradition, but he hates some tradition. She was the very first one, a pagan woman, a Samaritan. She was the very first one that he said, I'm the guy that everybody's been praying about. I'm the Messiah everybody's been dreaming about. Prophets have prophesied about me. Isaiah said there's coming a one who's going to be powerful. John said, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoelaces. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He chose a nobody from nowhere. Why? Because sometimes, God forgive Brad Davis, I've been raised all my life in this truth. Sometimes God will bypass Brad because he'll go to somebody who don't mind telling everybody everywhere about a man named Jesus. Sometime I've been so guilty of being so dignified and so cute. I thought, well, they don't want this, they don't want that. And the whole time they were dying, is there anybody else to tell me? Is there a way out of where I am? Acts 5:42, Holy Ghost falls. I don't have time. I'll skip through this. Holy Ghost falls, Acts chapter 2, upper room, one accord, one mind, one place, powerful picture of unity and being together, and Holy Ghost falls. Peter starts preaching. They get convicted. They ask the question in 2 and 37, what must we do? Peter gives them the gospel sword. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me just pause for 10 seconds. If you've never done that, it'd be a great day to start. If you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, I highly encourage you. It don't take a six-hour altar call. You can do it right there in the pew. And if you're sincere, and if your heart is turned, what is repentance? Now, don't look in my bald spot, but repentance is this. I'm serious, so I pray God curse you with baldness. When you repent, I've prayed for years for God to heal my baldness, and he wouldn't do it, so I don't know. Anyways, but when you repent, this is what happens. You ready? You're going this way, and you do this. Watch me. God does not demand perfection, but he requires you head in the right direction. All he asks of you is just make the best effort you can. And if you'll make the best effort you can, he'll meet you in the middle. That's how good he is at being God. Stop stressing about, I can't get it all together. Baby, I ain't got it together, but I know one who does. His name is Jesus. And he said, go tell it everywhere, every day. Come on, somebody, lift your hands right now. The Holy Ghost wants to baptize you with a fire to go tell it everywhere, every day, to let there be a fresh, hot anointing. Get a hold of your spirit and turn this city upside down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel it. Come on, somebody. God wants to send a wave up in this room and give you fresh power, fresh anointing, fresh authority to go tell it everywhere. Anybody besides me, we're going to close with this. You ever read the Bible and you thought to yourself, I can never aspire to what they did? Anybody? Thank you. Two of us. Praise God. I pray. When I read stories like Elijah and there's fire falling from heaven, I'm thinking, good God, I've prayed for things and I just see lint and small things fall in the air, but it ain't fire. When I see things like Peter and John and going to the temple to pray in the third hour, and they were going, they saw a lame man sitting by a gate called Beautiful, and they, alms, 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 sirs, can you help me today? And Peter reaches down his hand and says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel it in my spirit. Somebody hear me. Get up. Woo! It's time for you to get up and walk. Oh, I feel a move right here. Somebody, you've been sitting for a long time, but the Holy Ghost sent this preacher to tell you, get up. It's time to move again. It's time to go again. It's time to preach again, everywhere, every day. And now watch me. Watch this. We've all had times. We've all had moments where I thought, you thought, I could never be what they are. And this is why we say it. Don't you know, Brad? They were the apostles, man. They were God's hand-picked guys. And I say, yeah, you're right. That's true. But if you keep reading the Bible, it's going to talk about you and I in just a few minutes. Because Acts 1 through 5 is powerful. Jesus is commissioning. Acts 2, it's Holy Ghost falling. Acts 3, it's miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts 4, the church is being opposed. And Acts 5, somebody died. Come on. because they oppose what the Holy Ghost is doing. Words, read the Bible. But the Bible talks about another man, and his name is Stephen. He's a powerful dude. When he preaches, everybody listens. And the Bible says there was a day when Stephen started preaching, Holy Ghost started moving. And as it always does, Brother Lawrence, conviction started falling. And they got mad at what the preacher was saying. And the Bible said they picked up stones and they started killing the man Stephen. Here's what Stephen said. I'm going to get to us. The Bible said as Stephen was dying, this is why I tell you, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, grandparents, how powerful your testimony is. As Stephen was dying at the hands of people who hated him, this is what he did. Father, I let it go. Oh God, forgive them. Don't hold it to their charge. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and looked into heaven and he saw Christ. He saw the power of God seated at the right hand and he was struck by that. And the Bible says he fell asleep there. Watch what happens. And the Bible says when it happened, the church was scattered. And the Bible said with great turmoil, with great pressure, with great persecution, the Bible says this, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. What am I saying? I prayed it this morning, not just for you, but I prayed it for Brad. I said, God, you got to disturb my nest. You got to get me out of comfort. You got to get me out of apathy, out of complacency, out of just coming to church, and it's just a ritual. I do it on Sunday. I do it on Wednesday. But it's got to be Monday. When I get up and I see her, I'm not talking about be goofy and shove it down somebody. The Holy Ghost will make opportunity. He'll open the door. But when the door opens, I can say, let me tell you about a man who told me all I ever did. And I come back to moms and dads. We're going to pray in about 5 minutes. Moms, dads, grandparents, how powerful is your testimony? Hear me right now. I can preach to you for hours about going in public and telling everybody all these things. But the greatest revival that'll set this house up in fire is when you get up in your house on Monday night and say, come here, baby. Let me tell you about a man. I know you've been at school all day long. You're tired. Let's pray for about 10 minutes tonight, and let's just see if God will move. Well, we want to see God do great things in others. I know, but sometimes God can't do great things in others until he does great things inside of you. And the Bible says, talks to us, Stephen, he died as a witness. Another story. Saul is also a testimony. I ain't got time to go there. He was a king. He was anointed by God. He was God's man. Watch this. The Bible says Saul gave David his daughter Michal. The Bible says when David came home, this is what he was doing. Right. Just praise. The ark's back. We got it back. Watch. The Bible says Michal, his wife, Saul's daughter, sitting in a window. And she despised the king. Who does he think he is? To lose his dignity in front of God's people. You want to know why she felt that way? She never saw Dad do it. Watch. And the Bible says, all the days of Michal, she was barren. Because you can't produce if you can't be one who proclaims. Hear me right now. I've thrown a ton of seed out to all kinds of people. And I've seen at times very little fruit. Study the parable of the sower. Only 25% get it anyways. There's four quadrants. Hard ground, thorny ground, dry ground, and there's some good ground. He said you may throw it to 70, 100 people. 25 may catch it. But don't stress over the 75 who don't. Just go tell it everywhere, every day. I'll never finish it, but we're going to close like this today. It is my prayer. I'm going to talk about me. For me, and I pray for you. For God to give you back what Revelation talks about. That's what he says. It's time for you to return to your first love. It's time for you to get back everything you lost. I feel something right now. Yes, but you hear me right now. If you'll move in it, if you'll ask God, Lord, stir it up in me again. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. I'll give you a stat that'll blow your mind. This is the God. I'm all over the place, but I'm in the Holy Ghost. Just stay with me right quick. 85% of all people who make a faith decision make it between ages 15 and 18. Proven. 15. That's how powerful it is, Mom and Dad, to make sure this house is hot with worship. Hot. What do you mean hot? That's Pentecostal lingo for doing all we can to give all we got to the one who gave everything for us, who gave all he could for us, and all he asks in return is, can you make a step today? Can you get back where you used to be? Because I'm wanting to send a fire to hit this house, and when it hits this house, it'll explode over this area. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, the preacher today has been talking right to you. Now, since you enjoy doing that, take your thumb and put it in your chest and say, and he's talking to you too. And the Holy Ghost today, what he wants to do, I'm telling you, he wants to start a fire again on the inside of you. Some of you got testimonies that none of us got of coming out of deep, dark trouble. And God can begin, if you'll let him, God can begin to put you in positions, opportunity. See, it's not about we want instantaneous. God don't work that way. Paul watered, Apollos planted, God gave the increase. I just build relationships. That's what we're going to do. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed. Let's just pray first. Jesus, I ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, this wonderful church, I pray there'd be a fresh fire. Hit moms, dads, daughters, sons, nephews, nieces, children, students, these great elders who have held the torch high for so many years. I pray today that there would be a supernatural release over this house today, that miracles, signs, and wonders, that the gifts of the Spirit would operate in this room like never before. In the name of Jesus Christ, everything that's broken, I pray it be fixed. Everything that's distraught, I pray it be put back together. I pray for depression. I pray against oppression. I pray against suicide today. I pray against the feeling of loneliness. Like nobody knows where you are, he does know where you are. I pray today there'd be a fire put inside of their belly, God. Why don't we all come together today if you feel comfortable? I'm just asking you, please, as the praise team begins to sing, would you please ask God, restore me, God. Give me a fresh fire. Come on, Paris. Come on, Paris.
He saved me.
Come on, Paris.
He rescued
Come on, Paris.
Me.
Let the Holy Ghost talk to you today.
He delivered me.
In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, the Holy Ghost is moving right now.
Ever since I've been changed.
In the name of Jesus.
I've never been the same.
Loose the house, Holy Ghost.
Come on, somebody.
The Holy Ghost is trying to move right now. I'm going to tell it everywhere. Every day. Every day.
I'm an overcomer.
Power.
say? I've read that if when the music stops, you stop, we call it emotion and not Holy Ghost. So right now, in the devil's face, 30 seconds, you ought to give God a shout right now. It don't take music. It just takes God set me free. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout like you're being set free. Shout like God done made a way. Come on, somebody, it's not hype. It's all in order. It's all in order. Hallelujah. Woo! That's it, Paris. That's it, Paris. That's it, Paris. Somebody push right now, 30 seconds. I know you're tired. Let's just push 30 seconds. Hallelujah. I'm going to show my family this is how we do it. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell it everywhere, every day. Come on, 15 more seconds. Everywhere, every day. Baptize me, Jesus, with the Holy Ghost. God, have mercy. God, that's it, Paris. He inhabits the praises of his people. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it, somebody. It's trying to move right now. Woo! In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One more time, clap your hands to him this morning. Let me just touch on it and we'll dismiss and believe God for greater tonight. Thank you for your response to the word and worship. God honors that, amen. Let me just say this. Some have mistakenly said and thought, what's up with the Pentecostals when they start hooking and bucking? Now, you burn more calories here than getting any time fitness. I'm about to die up here. But hear me out. Hear me out right quick. Remember this. The next time you have a friend come to church or whatever, a coworker, and the Holy Ghost starts moving, and you feel that, it's time to move. But yet you think, oh, God, if I do, they're going to say, we always knew that y'all was crazy. Now, I'm going to help you. This is Bible. This is not a Pentecostal tradition, what we do, okay? Some have misinterpreted and said, well, Pentecost, you jump around shaking, talking in tongues. It's all fake. Well, that's not true. Watch it. The Bible says, this is Jesus talking. He said, can anybody see the wind? Mm-mm. What he said next. But you can see the effects of. When it hits the tree. The psalmist said you should be like a tree planted in the house of the Lord. Hear me. And it also, as I could preach here, when you're old, the Bible says you'll still be getting fruit out of that tree. But hear me right now. He said, and the same it is with the Spirit. Yes. You can be in a service And I may not see it, but all of a sudden, Brother Darren starts doing this. Don't worry about it. It's just the wind blowing. That's all we want in this house is the wind to blow every service. One more time, let's thank God for His goodness. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nobody like you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about you. And we give you glory as they sung in the beginning. And the angels cry, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. That's it. One more time. Clap your hands to Him today. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. High five somebody and tell them, we're talking about you. Go tell it everywhere. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. 5:30 prayer. 6 o'clock church. God bless you in Jesus' name.